Today
on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the president may be about to make a not-so-friendly announcement about traveling to Cuba. The laptop ban that impacts some overseas flights is not being expanded to the U.S. for now. And that means some new TSA screening rules. We have an update.
At 3:20, Steve LaRosa joins us with a special edition of What's Going On as he takes us to Santa Cruz, the perfect summer getaway spot.
Clayton Whitehead is in studio with us today, and our travel roundtable at 3:35 features a variety of topics, everything from Clayton's recent overseas travels to the problems some tourism destinations are having with becoming too popular and what they're going to do about it.
If this is the first time that you found our show, well, welcome now. If you're one of our loyal Wouldn't Miss It listeners, well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. It's time once again for the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome, welcome. You've got the Travel Guys on your radio, like it or not. I don't know.
What a way to start a radio program.
Did I say that out loud? I thought that was only in my head. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, the travel guy to my left. I'm Tom Romano, the wannabe travel guy.
To my right.
To your right.
Uh-huh. We are both in the studio.
I know. We got a whole crowd today. Clayton Whitehead here. We're going to talk about...
Steve LaRosa's here.
Yeah, it's Europe, Amsterdam, Santa Cruz.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, you know, Santa Cruz, that's where old hippies go to die, you know. The first time I took a tour group to Santa Cruz was about 20, 25 years ago. So that would have made it like the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And we got down there, and here were all these people who had obviously been displaced by a time machine from San Francisco 20 years earlier and been plopped down there. So I'm interested to hear about what Santa Cruz looks like because, as many people know, this is the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love.
You bet it is.
So all of those hippies who were displaced from San Francisco in the 60s would now be well into their own 60s.
There you go.
Or 70s.
Well, where was I? I was at... It was out at Capitol Village, out in Rancho Cordova, watching a movie on Friday night. They do Friday night movies now, right in the park. It was a lot of fun. And the gal was introducing, the event and mentioned the 4th of July event coming up at the 4th of July fireworks, big event there in Rancho Cordova. And this year, what they're going to do is they're celebrating the Summer of Love. They're going to have a band that's going to actually do mostly Beatles. But she mentioned to the audience, it was great. She said, well, if you don't know anything about the Summer of Love, and so ask your grandparents. And I go, whoa.
Yeah.
That would be me.
That's pretty, it's pretty scary.
Where were you in 67?
Yeah, Mark? Exactly. Where was I in 67? I was a 12-year-old about to lose a great sum of money. The Cardinals were in the World Series that year, and they got ahead of the Detroit Tigers 3-1. And I made some bets with people, like, you know, 50
years
cents
old
here and a quarter there. And
I
lost $8 or $9 on the World Series that year, which was at my age was a tremendous sum of money and took me months for my financial statement to recover. The Cardinals, however, won the World Series the next year. So I was able to recoup some of those losses the following season.
Boy, some things, go back for you. The baseball.
Yes, the baseball has been a theme.
Fixation for some time.
Yeah, pretty much. And you notice people said, you don't talk much about the Giants on your radio show anymore. And there's reason for that. Yes.
Really? People are noticing, huh?
Yes. Well, it's just kind of tragic.
Okay, we got. Let's move on from that kind of tragedy to something a little more on the positive side. I hope, and that of course is at the top of every Travel Guys radio show. It's the travel news, featuring Huey Lewis and the news.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What's new, Mark?
In case you didn't pick up on that, yeah, that's the reason Huey Lewis plays at the beginning of every show. It's Huey Lewis and the
news. He can
news.
Use the money, too.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. President Trump is about to reverse the Cuba travel policy that has made it so easy for folks to go to Cuba. He is going to reconfirm the licensing structure on the under the older system, which will mean that you will not be able to say, well, I'm going there to study the culture or to study the history or something like that. So but probably okay. Airlines have been cutting back the number of flights down there. So it appears as though a lot of the folks who wanted to go to Cuba got off their rear end and went. If you didn't, it may become a lot tougher to go starting next week. The Department of Homeland Security has announced they will not be expanding the ban on electronics to flights departing the United States, it said last Wednesday. They haven't, this ban was started in March. It affects about 50 flights a day on the United States on 9 carriers coming from a variety of overseas countries. There was some speculation that it would be expanded to include domestic trips here in the United States or international outbound trips. For right now, that's not the case. And I wish I could tell you more about why they are talking about all of this, but it obviously has something to do with the size of an electronic gadget and its ability to do things with an operator from an airplane. And they're obviously not telling us everything, which is fine with me, because if it's a security issue, I don't need to know. Just figure it out and keep me safe. That's all I'm concerned about. TSA has announced there are going to be some new carry-on screenings. It doesn't have anything to do with the laptop thing. It has to do with the fact that folks are putting so many things in their carry-on bags that it's becoming difficult for the TSA to be able to see, to find weapons and the things that they're supposed to catch in there. So in some cases, they're trying this at 10 airports. Sacramento is not one of them, but Los Angeles is one. Sky Harbor in Phoenix is one, and McCarran in Vegas is another one. So you could run into this if you're flying out of Sacramento to someplace else. But basically, if the TSA asks you to take something out of your bag that they didn't ask you to take out before, don't be surprised, because they're trying to be able to see through the bag better. And in some cases, they just need you to take something out of it.
On several occasions, I will get TSA pre-check, and I'll be there with my son-in-law, who always carries a mass amount of electronic devices, because he's just one of those guys.
Right.
He's got to have his, you know, his little mini pad and games and so forth. So he'll go, Dad. And he calls me Dad, Papa Romano. Says, hey, can you like stick the stuff inside your laptop case?
Won't stop me.
That way you're gonna, and so you know I can see it can get a little bulky, and it, there's just so much to look at. I don't even know how they manage it.
TSA guy told me this. If you have a lot of wires and stuff in your carry-on, Clayton, and if you have a lot of wires in your carry-on, disconnect the power source from the cord, because if they're disconnected, it makes it easier for them to tell that it's not a threat if you're carrying a lot of wires and stuff like that. Food can be a problem, particularly chocolate comes up. Pieces of chocolate, large pieces of chocolate candy and stuff, especially if they're placed over the top of certain things, can look kind of strange. So that's why sometimes you're asked to take things out of your bag, or they will check your bag and you think, wow, I didn't have a bottle of water or something in there. Well, they're just trying to make an effort to keep you safe. You know, the bad guys only have to be right once. The TSA people have to be right every single day. If you're a Hyatt credit card holder and you are a member of Hyatt's frequent traveler program, you're in business. Hyatt is offering you a 10% discount on awards. Let's see, how long is this good for? Doesn't say. So it's good for an indefinite period of time, I guess, for Hyatt credit card holders who are redeeming their points to stay at Hyatt hotels. Get a 10% rebate. And I know it works because I got one of them last week.
Right.
Norwegian Airlines has announced flights from the U.S. to Rome from New York City, Newark, Los Angeles, and Oakland. Oakland, yes, you can now go to Rome nonstop from Oakland for $189. Of course, that doesn't include actually getting on the airplane.
When I saw that, I knew exactly where this was going to go when you got your hands on it.
They just strap you to the outside, and for $189, you fly free fall all the way to...
Pay extra for a seat.
Yes, for a seat, for a carry-on, for just about everything.
But it's only $189.
Well, it is. It's only about $400 plus taxes round trip. So for some people, that will work. The problem is that some people are buying these United has sent out several bulletins to travel agencies. I know because we have a travel agent in our office and he gets them. And what's happening is people are buying these super cheap tickets and they're not aware of all the huge restrictions that there are on the tickets. And when they get to the airport and they can't put a carry-on on, or the flight, you're trying to get on the plane and the gate agent says, well, you can't take that carry-on suitcase because you're in the boarding group that doesn't allow for that. So you'll have to pay what it costs you to check the bag and a $25 fee. So wow. Now you're, yeah, exactly. And they're having disagreements and arguments at the gate and people say, well, I didn't know I bought that. And so it's this new way of trying to screw the customer is turning out to be a headache for the airlines. So I can't say that I'm surprised or disappointed, but just be careful. If you're going, they're putting these fares now on almost every route. So if you're buying something that says basic economy from United Airlines or American or Delta, there's a pretty good chance that you're not going to accrue miles if you're a frequent traveler. You're not eligible for upgrades. You lose basically every benefit or privilege that you have in order to save $30 or $40. So if that's in it, yeah. if that's important to you and that's what you want, great. But if it isn't, be careful. The TSA also has shared some tips for travelers with disabilities during the busy summer travel season. I'm not going to go into it in great detail. However, it is posted in great detail at travelguysradio.com. If you travel with a disability of any magnitude, it gets really busy in the summer. You probably already know this because you have a hassle getting through at the airport. TSA has some ideas for you. Go to travelguysradio.com and just scroll down under the show description and you'll see a whole list of that. The U.S. is tightening visa application vetting for countries that are not on our visa waiver list. This means folks from places like Poland and stuff are going to have a harder time getting into the country. And you can probably expect that those countries will retaliate in kind in the next few months. Disney theme park attendance has slipped in 2016 around the planet. Kind of interesting. Their attendance was heavily up the year before. So it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but some folks think that theme parks in this technological era that we've come into now might have some issues. So we'll see if that continues for Disney. The Czech Republic has become the newest smoke-free destination. They have passed some new laws that will ban smoking inside bars, restaurants, and cafes across the country. For folks who have traveled to the Czech Republic and to Prague specifically, no, this is not going to be easy for them. Those people smoke a lot in the Czech Republic. And so this is a huge step forward for folks who travel there. And finally, we have a new app, travel app for you, the cleanest restrooms. If you need to find that or just the cheapest gas, it is called Gas Buddy. You can go to travelguysradio.com. There is a link to it there and download it onto your phone. And Clayton and I both will tell you that it works. Help you find the cheapest gas, the cleanest gas station, restrooms or things like that. And that is your travel news for today.
There you go. No criticism against gas stations, but actually the term clean and gas station rarely blend.
Rarely comes up.
No, you don't.
You realize the longer this goes on, the less time Steve has to talk to us.
All right, Steve LaRosa. Well, you know, there probably isn't anybody listening to this show that hasn't been to Santa Cruz. Well, we're going to check in with Steve and find out what's going on in Santa Cruz. Welcome, everyone. Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
And I saw this guy in concert just a few weeks ago in Livermore.
Really?
Yeah, Arlo Guthrie.
No kidding.
I went down to Livermore to see him.
I interviewed him one time.
How was it?
It was really good because I'd never seen him in concert. You know, he did Alice's Restaurant, which he absolutely hates.
Did he do it at the show?
No, he didn't do it at the show. And that the city of New Orleans was how he closed the show. But Bankhead Theater down there in Livermore, really a good place to see a show. Holds about probably 400 or 500 people. And really a wonderful venue in downtown Livermore. I highly recommend it. And they get a lot of second, you know, they're not, with that number of seats, they can't afford, you know, to get top name people. So they get great second name people there. And you're able to pick off somebody that, you know, you like.
Well,
you
Arlo
to see
Guthrie, you know, and Woody Guthrie, and
yeah,
we're talking about his, you know,
all right,
icons.
Let's get to Rosa here. He's got a bunch of stuff about Santa Rosa.
About Santa Rosa.
About Santa Cruz.
Oh. Steve LaRosa from
LaRosa.
Santa Rosa.
Yeah, well, it's all confusing.
What is wrong with you guys today?
We're goofy.
What is? Okay, we are going off to Santa Cruz, and we are going to get there in a very unique way this time.
Cool.
That's right, we're surfing on our way to Santa
Cruz.
Wow,
I'm glad he's told us that, because I would never have probably guessed that.
Oh, I can. It just gives me that goosebumps.
You're an old surfer guy.
I'm going to take both of you guys by the hand and walk you around Santa Cruz in a very gentle and caring way. Okay, Mark, you've been to this place. The first place we stayed at two different places, and the first place we stayed was at the Hilton in Scotts Valley, and it's just off 17, about 5 miles east of Santa Cruz. And we found actually a couple of good deals. This one was on Secret Escapes US. You're 5 miles away from the beach, but it's nothing. And it's really, the rooms were actually very nice. What do you think?
It's an older property, but we stay there frequently. It's a nice hotel, and the rates are very reasonable. If you don't have to be on the beach, it's not so bad. But if you do have to be on the beach, the Dream Inn was your other place, right?
Yeah, we'll be chatting about that briefly. But we shot down to Capitola, walked around, checked out the business, the businesses down by the beach. And then we hit Aptos, and we stumbled across a great bit of nostalgia, a Snow White drive-in.
Wow.
The old classic hamburger stand.
Yeah.
There used to be three or four of them here in town, and I think the closest one now is, there's one in Stockton and one in Modesto. Tom?
Yes, absolutely. Did this look like the originals?
Yes. Oh, yeah, this thing was right out of Central Casting. It was a crack-up. Got the T-shirt.
Speaking of food, you went to the Pacific Cookie Company.
We did, and I think you guys had a little sampling.
Oh, yeah.
We did. We would like to thank the Pacific Cookie. The travel guys would like to thank the Pacific Cookie Company for the cookies.
Great cookies. I don't know if we have any left.
I
had the peanut butter and a half a snickerdoodle. It was awesome.
The oatmeal raisin were definitely right up on the top shelf. So
yeah, that's right there on Pacific Avenue. It's a great little place, and they got a great variety of cookies right fresh out of the oven. One fun thing to do if you get a night with nothing to do in Santa Cruz is we went to the Nickelodeon, and much like the Tower Theater here in Sacramento, it's right on the edge of a neighborhood. It's a little art house, and of course they show the independent movies, and it's a great little spot.
Pictures of all these places Steve is talking about can be found at travelguysradio.com, and you can actually follow along. There's about 15 pictures of all the places in Santa Cruz that Steve went to, so you can go there and see them.
Yeah, I'm skipping ahead here a little bit because I don't think much about that one or that one. But if you're going to go to Santa Cruz on Pacific Avenue, you got to go to the bookshop. You know that it's a huge bookstore, and it's just so much fun to browse around this place. Uh-huh. Of course, right on Pacific Avenue, the main drag there. And we ended up eating next door at, we had breakfast at a place called Chocolate the Restaurant. And
you talked about drinking chocolate.
Yeah, and it was like drinking melted chocolate. I had never had hot chocolate served that way, and I presume they had about 20 different varieties of hot chocolate on the menu, and it came in a little like an espresso cup, and it was thick as gravy, but it was delicious.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's called drinking chocolate, and it's a real connoisseur type thing, you know, folks who like it's not like just getting a regular cup of hot chocolate. It's a whole different consistency.
Drinking chocolate.
Yeah, it was really delicious. I can't wait to try that again. Also, if you're in Santa Cruz, my neighbor Patty Schwartz down the street, they have a place down in Santa Cruz. She said, you got to go to Companion Bake Shop. And so we went there. We got a loaf of a bread. I talked to the guy there. A lot of their stuff, they actually derive. It's a sourdough base, and you got to go get there early in the morning because a lot of their stuff sells out so quickly. So that was another thing. Then, of course, if you're going to Santa Cruz,
you can always tell a good bakery because the stuff sells out early. That's a sign of a good bakery.
They had a donut shop.
Yeah. Well, we did go to Farrell's donut shop down there. It was all right. I'm not going to recommend that one.
Steve, I have to ask, we all have, Santa Cruz is about the boardwalk. And it's in the roller coaster, the
classic.
Yeah,
you haven't mentioned it yet.
We're getting there.
Well, you've got 2 minutes there. Here, so let's, all right, get out of the way.
Okay, pins and noodles.
We went to O'Neill's Surf Shop. Had to go there for nostalgic reasons because back in 62, I think it was 1962, I actually tried surfing there. It was kind of like Clinton. I surfed, but I did not catch a wave. If you get my comparison there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went to the original O'Neill's, got the t-shirt as I'm wearing now.
Right.
And here's the irony. 2 days ago,
yeah,
Jack O'Neill passed away. He started these surf shops, and now he's worldwide. And
right.
Santa Cruz was his second place. And I can remember when it was a little shack across the street from the boardwalk.
Jack has caught his last wave.
Yeah. Well said. Thank
you. Got a minute. Tell us about the Dream Inn. I send people there. You stayed there. Tell me about it.
Dream Inn, right off the, sort of off the edge of the boardwalk. They've redone the place. It's great. It's the rooms are great. Everybody has a balcony view of their beach and the bay right beyond there, where I legendarily surfed.
Were you? Yes.
Legendarily? That was a few years ago, I'm guessing.
That was over 50 years ago.
Did you eat? Does the Dream Inn have dining facilities? Did you eat there? Or?
Did not, but they do. They have a restaurant that starts with the letter A.
Okay.
Any final Santa Cruz thoughts before we do news?
The boardwalk, they're reconstructing a portion of the boardwalk. I went there looking for, you remember the old organic baseball machine where, mm-hmm. Where you hit the ball? Nothing. It's all digital. And there was nothing.
What a shame.
It was just, what a letdown.
Was the roller coaster still there?
The roller coaster was there, but when we were there, it was a balmy morning and the place was empty. It was kind of like one of those old movies where the boardwalk is
Santa
shut
Cruz,
down.
Where old hippies go to die.
Didn't see a single hippie on the whole trip.
Really?
Not a one.
Well, they're all, I mean, you know, it's been a hard 50 years since the Summer of Love.
Yeah.
Give me a break. I'm still breathing.
Kinda. We need to do the news here, my friends, and then we will come back, talk to Clayton Whitehead. We're going to have a travel roundtable and deal with all the travel issues of the day. Steve, thank you very much for the Santa Cruz update. We are the Travel Guys. We'll be right back.
Welcome. It's the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
Is that what this is?
Yes, and they are celebrating your 38th birthday today, tomorrow?
This Thursday.
Absolutely. Mark?
You know how hard it is for a business to survive 38 years?
Well.
Hell, you know how hard it is for a person just to survive 38 years.
And you know what? On top of that, except for one word, you've had the same name.
That's true.
And the same owner. And
that's true.
So
the same lint has been on this microphone for the last.
Now don't go there. So anyway, what was the deciding moment, and
the
why this day,
moment?
And why this Thursday? Have you defined that as the specific day that you began?
We ran trips to baseball games for a year or so, kind of without a business license or anything like that.
Really?
And then. A bus driver suggested that the folks who rose
license.
Up to Reno and Lake Tahoe on the buses back 35 years ago,
right.
It was pretty common for folks when they retired to a trip to Reno or Tahoe was a good day trip activity. You got pretty much your bus fare back from the casino as a rebate when you got up there. And it was big business. A lot of people, when they retired, did that as it was on there. Now people have such a wider range of things they can do. That type of activity isn't that popular. Plus, there's a casino on every street corner now, so you don't need to go to Reno or Lake Tahoe to gamble. But that's kind of how it started. The first bus went on a Friday night, left Sacramento at 5:30 in the evening, and came back at 5:30 in the morning. And so actually, the company's anniversary, we say, is June the 8th and the 9th, because the first official trip left on June the 8th and didn't come home until the morning of the wee hours of June the 9th. But it will be 38 years this week that we have been delivering travel products to mostly mature travelers in the Sacramento area. In fact, a lot of the people who travel with us now are second-generation travelers of folks who traveled with us before.
Very good. Very good. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. We will have a very small and short party on Thursday because the phone at our office rings a lot, and so we can't take too much time off or folks wouldn't get served. I have an announcement here. From the Rosie the Riveter place. Now, this is kind of interesting. Down in Richmond is the Rosie the Riveter National Park site. and the National Park Visitor Education Center. It's open every day except Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they have a rally, a big to-do once a year. This year it's going to be on August the 12th, and last year they got more people dressed as Rosie the Riveter than had ever been in one place ever before. So they're going to try to break their own record this year. For those of you, the children in the audience, Rosie the Riveter was women during World War II when the men went off to war. Women had to assume many of the jobs that men had previously filled. Some of those were industrial jobs. Some of the plants down in the Richmond area that produced weapons and things that were needed in the war, the ladies were putting the rivets on. So they were literally Rosie the Riveter was kind of a theme that stuck, if you will. And so they still have a big reunion and they try to get as many people dressed up. And that's in Richmond on August the 12th. So anyways.
Well, there you go. Do you have any idea how many Rosie the Riveters?
How many they had last year?
That they're trying to break?
No, that would be a good. I will get the person when we get closer to that. I will get the person from the park site to come on with us and talk about it. We are joined now by Mr. Clayton Whitehead. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You've been all over the place.
I have traveled a lot in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
3 months.
And you and I are getting ready to do an anniversary trip next week.
We certainly are. We're going to the Portland Rose Festival, which is absolutely, in my humble opinion, the best floral parade in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I know, a big statement.
Yep,
this Pasadena is pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of a visitor experience, Portland is the best.
Well, it might have something to do with the fact that you can watch the parade from inside an arena if you buy a ticket.
It has a lot to do with that.
So they actually have to worry about rain or cold.
Right.
Or
they have this place called Veterans Memorial Arena downtown. It's like a basketball arena, but it's got two giant garage doors on the two goal ends, and the parade goes right through the building. So we sit in real seats with backs, bathrooms, concessions. It's really human.
And it's did he mention this is in Portland, where it does tend to rain on occasion? So,
there you go.
Particularly, it seems to rain on parade day a lot. So if you're going to the floral parade in Portland for the Rose Festival, you can buy tickets and see it indoors, which is really pretty darn cool. That all started. I was up there this week. They had a nighttime parade on Friday night to kick off the Rose Festival.
The Rose Festival is 2 weeks plus the extra weekend long, so there's events going on and on and on. But it kind of culminates this coming Saturday with the big floral parade.
So you have been over in Europe recently. You took a group to Ireland.
Ireland, yes.
And to see the castles and stuff like that. England has been in the news, not for good reasons, several times here in the last few weeks. Ireland's kind of in that neighborhood. So let me ask you, Mr. Whitehead, you travel internationally a lot. What consequence or what thought do you give to terrorism or how it might impact you or suddenly pop up someplace? Is it something that does it keep you from going any place that you want to go?
Oh, clearly it doesn't. And conventional wisdom will tell us that the increase in terrorism should be a detriment to travel, be it domestic or international. But I can't tell you when I've last been on a plane that had empty seats. I can't tell you when I've last been in a hotel that had a lot of empty rooms. I can't tell you when I've last been to a museum or a theme park or whatever is worth seeing when I was the only one there. So if the agenda of terrorists is to keep people afraid and keep them from traveling, it ain't working. Because everywhere I go, there are people. There are people from all over the world, not just Americans. And, you know, we're not letting it stop us. You know, we're just not.
Do people who travel with you, do they talk about it? Is it something that concerns them, do you think?
I have to think it's on everyone's mind because it's on my mind too. I will confess I'm more conscious of my surroundings now. And I'm not only more conscious for my own sake, but because I'm usually on the road with 20 or 30 people.
Exactly.
You know, for whom I am certainly responsible for, you know. So I bring up the rear a lot because I've hired a local guide to lead the way. And I'll confess, I'm always turning my head. I'm always looking around. You know, I am more conscious now.
One of our travelers in New York City on our recent trip there last month said to me, Tom, she said, "You look like a Secret Service man, the way you're walking around behind the group and stuff while we were standing there talking to that gentleman." And I said, well, that's kind of what I'm doing, is I'm kind of just walking around behind the group looking for people who might consider you a target.
Exactly.
And also letting anybody know who might be looking at you that I'm looking at them. Because really and truly, this is something that concerns me a lot, people with their phones and stuff. You know, people have given up. Don't you think, Steve, you travel a lot. People have given up the ability to be able to respond because they're not paying attention.
And they're not present. They're not present
for the experience. They're not in the moment. Yeah. And they're not, they're not even where they are, which is kind of sad.
One thing I really counsel my groups, and I do this whenever I'm in a large area, like I was at the Preakness the other day with 137,000 close personal friends. I do New York trips. I was in DC for Memorial Day, or when I'm in Europe, I really counsel my groups, not only for their own safety, but for the safety of everyone, that, you know, if you're proud to be an American, I'm proud too, but this isn't the time to broadcast it. Let's don't wear a lot of bling. Let's don't be that loud American. Let's don't wear a lot of red, white, and blue, even.
Ipsnay on the logo t-shirts.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's blend in. Let's be quiet. If something bad's going to happen, I can't help that, but let's let it happen to somebody else. I mean, I hate to say that, but truly, that's the way I feel. And I do believe, I mean, in some cases, you know, when bad things happen, sometimes the people have brought it on themselves. They were too visible. They were too loud. They weren't paying attention.
Clayton, I want to take a moment. I know you've been to Amsterdam, Iceland, Barcelona, Seattle, lots of places, and you were talking about the not going to any place that alone, because travel seems to be up. Are there any places that you've been? Do you feel that sometimes there's just too many people?
Absolutely. Boy, my last trip to Switzerland, and no disrespect to Asian tourists, they have a lot of money, and one of the ways they spend it is through travel. But it was like you had to look for somebody who could speak German. I mean, there were Asian tourists everywhere, and they tend to travel in big groups, and they tend to be very noticeable. They tend to be loud. Actually, they're the people I'm talking about. They're so loud and they're so visible, and their culture and their mannerisms are so different. But you know what? Switzerland is worth going to, and that's why they're there. You know, if we want to be alone, I mean, I guess you can always pick a place that no one's ever heard of.
Clayton, a lot of these places that, specifically the places that Tom mentions, Amsterdam, Iceland, Barcelona, and now Seattle, are all talking about the fact that too many people are coming. And the quality, not only is the quality of the visitor experience probably suffering a little bit, but the quality of life for the people that live there is suffering a lot. Our videographer, Matt Dockery, lives in Key West, and he frequently tells me about how in Key West, the tourism is every day. It's nonstop, and these people get under your skin sometimes, and they do things that are inappropriate. You know, they would never do those things in their community, but they come to your community and get drunk, and it's okay to do those things.
And remember, I live part-time in Savannah, which all summer, Savannah doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the visitors. And we just live in the shadows.
So as tourism is becoming more popular, it's driving the economy of the planet. This doesn't surprise those of us who have made it our life's work, because we've kind of seen this coming. But what are they... Are they going to raise prices? Are they going to segregate people by economic ways? Are they going to say, instead of $20 to get into this attraction, it's $75? Not because it's worth $75, but because that's the price point at which we can discourage enough people from coming to improve the quality of the experience. Like in Iceland, they have more tourists over there than they can accommodate.
And so does Cuba. So does a lot of places.
Well, there you go. So
I think raising prices is the easiest answer, but I don't think it's the best. I think it's a cop-out answer, because then it's just setting up economic disparities. I mean, I'm from the South. I know about segregation, and that's what it's doing. Economic segregation, I don't think, is fair. I think the fairer solutions are a lot more difficult. Like for years, there's been a dialogue going on in Washington, D.C. and national parks all over America about not letting in cars, not letting in motor coaches, seriously restricting the traffic flow by building big remote parking lots and forcing everyone to be shuttled in. Okay, that sounds fair, but who's going to pay for it? Where's the land going to come from? Who's going to develop the parking lot? Who's going to manage the parking lot? Who's going to manage the shuttle service? What if you've got a ton of luggage because you're coming to spend the night and not just coming in on a day trip? So you see, it's not easy answers, but to me, those are the true solutions.
You're listening to a Travel Guys Roundtable, Clayton Whitehead, Mark Hoffman, Steve LaRosa, and yours truly, Tom Romano. And we will continue in just a couple of minutes right here. We're the Travel Guys.
If
Kind of the appropriate piece of return music there. That's ugly Americans. Oh, I didn't say that, did I? We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. A little roundtable going on.
Here's something that was suggested by, this is somebody who wrote it on one of Chris Elliott's website. Chris will be a guest with us next week on the Travel Guys. He says, Clayton, you might know about this. He says, I would like to suggest travelers play my version of the United game. The United game works like this. When you check in at the United Airlines ticket counter, take note of how you're received. If the person greets you in any way, shape, or form, even with a smile, they are a former Continental employee who has somehow survived the disenchantment of working for United. If they turn their back on you and ignore you, they are a Company United employee. Ask that person if they are forbidden to greet you and note the response. When you board the plane or when you exit the plane, take note of the mannerisms of the flight attendant. If they greet you while staring at the floor, they are original United employees. The former Continental employees will look you in the eye and greet you and actually appear to enjoy their job. When you find these Continental employees, the few who are still around, acknowledge them, thank them, and tell them how you singled them out. It makes their day that you noticed. It's fun to seek out the Continental folks. It helps pass the time on another boring flight, unless, of course, you're going to Louisville. And that's just kind of a, play on.
Well, I'll weigh in on that. Continental was a Texas-based company. Texas is the South. We're known for Southern hospitality. I rest my case.
No, boy.
The Continental, Tom, you know this guy, he's right.
I know.
80% of the time, you get on a United flight, you can pick out the people that used to work for Continental. And I don't know that this, I don't know that that is an insult or a dig on the United people as much as it is a compliment to the people who used to work for you for Continental, because they conducted themselves on a different plane. They were professional, and yet they were fun, and they were nice people. And so I think that's what this.
Well, we know one nice person that worked with United for about 2 years. She's the midday on-air talent for the Bull 92.5, Michelle Buckles.
Oh, Michelle, who was on with us with the Travel Guys and talking about.
So what happens to good United Airlines employees? They become.
Do you notice this, Clayton, when you fly with United? You fly a lot of United.
It is true. I mean, I fly almost 100,000 miles a year with United. I'm not beating them up. They get me where I want to go, and I love them.
Mm-hmm.
But culturally, United Airlines was a very different company than Continental. And they won the naming rights, and sadly, their culture, more than Continental's, is what's carried over to the merged company. And it's made a big difference.
You've been to Washington, you've been to Ireland, you've been to New Orleans, you've been to a lot of hot tourism destinations this spring. Most of your travel is front-loaded into the spring every year. Do you have anything that you've noticed in airports or things that you've picked up in the last few months that you could share with folks?
Two really, really biggies. I think we all know intellectually that the name printed on our ticket must match the name on our picture ID, but we've gotten very lax about that, especially people who use a nickname as their primary recognizable name. And something that people don't know is if that plane ticket doesn't match your ID, and you go through the first security checkpoint and the first airline check-in, then that ticket is sealed for the entire flight. I've already had it happen twice this year when somebody made it through TSA with the wrong name, only on the return to get caught by TSA. And because that ticket was already, in progress, you can't change it. Not for a fee even. You can't change it. All we could do is go back to the ticket counter and buy them a very expensive one-way day of flight ticket to get that person home in the right name. So I beg people, just look at the name you're using. Look at that ticket. If you notice it before you check in and go through security, you can fix it. They can fix it. United, whoever, they can fix it. And it's no issue. But once that ticket is in motion, once you've flown the first segment, that ticket is sealed and it can't be changed. And then second, very briefly, TSA and Dublin have entered into an agreement. There's actually TSA security checkpoints in Dublin International Airport now. When you check in Dublin, you go through U.S. security screening, and when you land wherever you're going from Dublin Airport in America, you simply walk off the plane, walk to your next plane, and get on. There's no more of that grabbing your bags in one big room and dragging them across and giving them to somebody else. There's no more of that out of Dublin. It's a test program. Hopefully it's working very well, and we can see that at other international gateway airports in the future.
Cool. Thank you, Mr. Clayton, for all of those travel tips there? Steve is sitting there with kind of a
I was just wondering. So in my case, I wouldn't use the word the name Steve. I would use Stephen the full.
Yes, it
legal
should
name.
Be. However, it's printed on your ID, and of course, you know, for women who have married or recently unmarried, or you know, I realize names are not always cut and dried, and your ID doesn't always match. What you're called, but whatever ID you're using, that needs to be the exact verbatim name that's printed on the ticket. And even something as logical as Steve versus Stephen, I mean, we know what that means. We all know what that means, but legally TSA can call you on it. And one of my ladies, it was just a shortened version of her legal name. Anybody in the world would have said, yes, this is the same person. Except the kind TSA officer at Charleston, South Carolina International Airport, and that cost me $659.
Words to the wise. Wow. Also, if you're flying JetBlue out of Sacramento and you know JetBlue is in the old terminal with United and American and Delta, they're not. They're back in the new terminal where they started doing business a number of years ago. So if you're flying JetBlue, it's in the terminal with Southwest and all the once-a-day airlines.
That would be the Red Rabbit terminal.
Yeah, and don't be confused. Most people think that because it's the newer terminal, it should be referred to as Terminal A.
Uh-huh.
It is not. It is Terminal B. Yeah. The older terminal where United resides is A.
We don't want to do... Okay, I have a save the best for last thing here, guys. I hope I can get through this. This is written by a traveler. This is not their story, but one that they witnessed. He said, last night while returning home from a business trip, I boarded my last connection in Portland at 10 p.m. On the plane was a family, man, wife, and three very young children. They were obviously of Muslim faith as both of the parents were in headscarves. The man had obviously suffered some trauma as his movements were almost epileptic and his speech was very slurred. The three children were obviously very scared and screaming at the top of their lungs nonstop. They were clinging to their mother, and as FAA rules dictate, they sit in their own seat with a seatbelt. The anxiety, lack of communication, the fear escalated when the flight crew was trying carefully to seat them. This lasted for almost an hour on the tarmac. People were gracious and willing to try to give up their seats to have the children be as close to their mother as possible. One man broke out his phone and started sharing fishing videos with one of the little boys, which worked fabulously. I can't say enough with emphasis how well the flight crew of Alaska Flight 2346 handled themselves and the situation. They were heroic in the way they handled what could have gone very bad. Oh, and one more little fact. Upon arriving at our destination airport at 12:15 in the morning, the family was greeted by a large group of people holding a sign saying, "Welcome to America." You see, these family were refugees from war-torn Somalia. They were welcomed with grace, understanding, and compassion in a challenging situation. Yes, welcome to America.
We're the Travel Guys. We'll see you next Sunday, 3 o'clock, Mark.
Dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Sunday at 3.